building, Grapeviners, man. This, I think today probably gonna be a little bit of fire. Might be some fire. I just had a conversation about some fire. Man, it's real life out here. It's real life out here. Thank you for tuning in. You're on the Grapevine. I'm your host, Manan Sabir. And this is the Truth 101, the award-winning Truth Radio 101.7. I tell you real quick that if you are thinking about changing your dial, please don't. Please don't. Thank you, Ray and Shannon, for doing your thing. Man, fantastic. Fantastic things that you do, you guys doing out there. I really appreciate what you got going on. Oh, man, this is crazy. Wow. Where do I start? Where do I really, really start? Everything today is one story with four faces. Straight up. Everything today is one story with four faces. A black man walks up to the door with real power and the door closes. That's right. That's where we start. We're going to start right now. Then I'm going to show you why that keeps happening. Today's show is about black men. Am I too loud right now? I'm not. No, I think we need to be loud. I think we need to be unabashedly loving towards ourselves and loud, for real. Then I'm gonna show you why when we walk up to the door keeps closing. He closed the door himself. You know, I appreciate that. You know, thanks for doing what you had to do to progress your own agenda, Mr. Mandela Barnes. But you know, now's the time to move on. Now's the time to move on. Time to walk out. You know, it reminds me of like politics. Reminds me of like the shotgun house. If you ever been to a shotgun house back in Mississippi or something like that, politics reminds you. Walk in and you walk right back out. Sometimes the door, you can't even open up that back door. That's when you stay in the shotgun house and eat grandma's pudding, eat the collard greens and macaroni and cheese. Then when you stay and you eat that stuff, man, you find out that being close to your people is one of the ways in which you're able to be atop of this whole entire thing. So I'm going to show you a little bit of what's going on with black men straight up in this through line and what's going on in our society with black men later on today. But first, red hot. Because I need you locked in. Mandela Barnes, black man who had a real shot at the governor's seat in Wisconsin. From what I last heard, he was like second, whatever. You know, he was in the running. Just like that, gone. And the reason why he gave up his seat or his run, you know, it's probably something that he, you know, this is something he probably made up. I wish I can play it. Do we have that Zach, we got that pulled up? We'll get it up later. While what he said, it was something off of Twitter. We're going to pull it up, but I'm a paraphrase. And he said that he wanted Wisconsin to, he felt like it was time for Wisconsin to come together to defeat the Republican Party. It's life or death, and it's time to, you know, galvanize. And you know, Mandela Barnes, you had your thing. You did your thing. Now it's time to move on. But I think the defeating the Republican Party. Yes, we think it's life or death, but I think it's even more than that. I think it's more than that right now. I think it's galvanizing the black vote. The black vote. Like I said earlier in these earlier topics of discussion in one of my shows, black people are the canaries in the coal mine. You cannot run a campaign without understanding the black vote. And also understanding where black wealth flows. if you don't understand where black wealth flows, specifically black wealth and then health, you're not going to win a campaign, especially as a black person running as a black person. You're not going to win. That's plain and simple. If you cannot address black people as a politician, if you cannot put those words, black and wealth, in the same sentence as a politician, it is going to be hard for you to win. Zach, do we have that Twitter piece? Can we get that Twitter piece?
Mandela?
Yeah, from Mandela, when you get a chance. We're going to pull that Twitter piece up in a few seconds, a few minutes here. But if you listen to a person like Dr. Claude Anderson, Naeem Akbar, people like that, they consistently tell you, Naeem Akbar consistently tells you to control your moral compass. As a black person, as a black man, as a black woman, control your moral compass. Shahrazad Ali says the same thing about black women. And then Dr. Claude Anderson says, control the wealth gap. Control your own wealth gap. Capitalism, he said, capitalism was and is one of the ways in which we can win this race. He said, capitalism, before capitalism, it was mercantilism, where people would create a product and be able to barter and or sell it, plain and simple, without the in-betweens. Now with capitalism, people are taxing those items. And that's how capitalism was created, on the backs of black people being traded as chattel slavery. Straight up. So if a person who is running a campaign cannot say black and wealth or black and financial health in their campaign, you already know that the canaries will start leaving. They will fly away. We the canaries. And I continue to say, when we're the people who are constantly, we constantly have our ears to the streets. We told people about Donald Trump. We told people, don't vote for this dude. Don't vote for him. And people did. And guess what happened? Guess what happened? We already know. We already know. It's inevitable when we tell somebody to do something as a collective community, it happens. Look at hip hop, look at music, look at basketball, look at sports, look at politics, infrastructure, inventions. Look at that. Things all you have to do is just look at the history, and the history will tell you. The history will tell you. Very, very honest. Very honest. So we appreciate Mr. Mandela Barnes for standing up for himself. No doubt about it. Thank you for standing up for yourself. Thank you for defeat and stepping aside takes discipline. Defeat and stepping aside takes discipline. It does not mean, and he probably understood, it does not mean that he is any less or any more of a person. It is reading the room. We have this. We have a video of Mandela actually talking about him, his campaign, and his campaign being suspended. Let's see what he has to say.
Cool conversation from my staff. Now, we're incredibly proud of all the things that we've accomplished and all the resources that we have raised to spread our message. But it's become very clear who our nominee is going to be. Now, I said from the very beginning when I launched this campaign that the number one goal was taking on and defeating Tom Tiffany to deliver big wins for Democrats up and down the ticket. And now it's our time to come together, to focus our efforts on that one goal. We have to do everything to beat Tom Tiffany. This is life or death for Wisconsinites who are losing their health care under a Trump administration. People who can't afford child care. The folks who are being squeezed by bills while the rich continue to get richer. Now, I got in this race because we're living in a rigged system. The rich are getting richer while the rest of us are left scrambling for crumbs. I know this firsthand. That's why I've always fought for better. As a legislator, as an organizer, as a lieutenant governor. Now, while I may be suspending this campaign, I'll never give up my fight for Wisconsin. And I'm incredibly grateful for all the folks who joined this campaign, for the people who believed in me and this movement, knew that we had a real shot at creating opportunities through bold action to improve quality of life for every single person that calls this place home. Now, we have to do everything we possibly can to defeat Tom Tiffany. And that's exactly what I'm committed to doing for the next 96 days. Last
night. I appreciate it, Z. So there's two ways to see this. And I want your take. This is a sacrifice. A brother putting on a mission over his own name, defeat the base. Trust me, run with it. That's a chess move. That's a man who understands the assignment practically. But, and this is the one that keeps me up. How many times do we watch our, you know, sometimes strongest people or people who step out in the limelight, step to the edge of power, and something moves them off the board. Something moves them off the board. You start good. And I'm not just talking about this campaign. I'm talking about in life, in politics. You start good. Then all of a sudden, there's pressure. Sometimes it's pressure you can't see. Sometimes it's pressure you choose. And after a while, you got to ask, is it always a choice? Or is the game built so we never get quite close to the gavel, never get quite close to putting on the parachute? When we come back, I'm going to continue on. This is very interesting. I want to talk about black man healing. Thanks, Mandela Barnes. You led off. Great home run. We're going to talk about black man healing the rest of the way, baby. We get back in three.
Ain't no place for black folk here, man. Really? Promised land calling me, man.
It's calling me too, man.
It's time we go. Hey, man. Hey, damn these chains, man. Damn you, master. You ain't my master, man. You ain't that. You ain't that.
Get the dogs. Get the house. We gonna have ourselves hanging tonight. Hanging tonight.
Ooh. Brother Z. Brother Z said it, baby. True Family Fest. Get ready. 101.7. The True Family Fest is back. Yes, y'all need to come out to the True Family Fest straight up. Join us Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School for free back-to-school resources, live entertainment, family activities, and community fun. Vendors and sponsors can reserve a spot by visiting truthfamilyfest.com or sierra.brown, that's C-I-E-R-R-A.brown at milwaukeeblackmedia.com. Proudly sponsored by Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, and Ascension. Now we're back. We're back. We're talking about, and I'm glad you guys are back here on the grapevine picking some more grapes. We're talking about Mandela Barnes out the race. Mandela Barnes is out of the race. I repeat, he is out of the gubernatorial race here in Wisconsin. He said that he said progress is better done without him being a part of the information pool.
He also said we know who the nomination is. So does he know something that we don't?
He knows something that we don't. He knows something that we don't. He sees where the money is flowing. I think for me, I always say it's about the money. It is about the cash. And I think he knows where this money is flowing. So we have to understand that if he knows, other people know. And here's where I think everything, this connects to everything. And I care about this show. I really do. I really care about this show. Whether Barnes jumped or got nudged, carried that weight, the weight of being the one who's supposed to make it all, make it for all of us, then letting go, that's a load on a black man's soul that no one talks about. We celebrate the climb. We're the people who celebrate the climb. We never ask what the fall costs inside. That's the healing conversation. That's what moves our agenda forward. Not just winning seats, but keeping our men whole enough to hold them. Yeah. Keeping our men whole enough to hold them. That is the trick. That is the trick. We got to get past. Come on, y'all. Y'all, we got to stand up. What did Nas say? We got to replay that one. Political power without healed people. In this case, political power without healed men is like a house without foundation. You can win the office, but you're going to lose the man. You can win the office, but you're going to lose the man. They love for us to think that progress is only on a ballot, and that's not the case. Progress is a brother who can step back from a race. Thank you, Mandela Barnes, and not allow it to break him. Because we don't want him to be broken. We just need you to step aside for a minute, brother. And it's okay. It is okay. Not you only got to step aside for a minute. You just step aside, period. We don't need you a part of the foundation. So Barnes said, we need to trust him on this. All right, cool. Boom. And we running with it. We off to the races. So, you know, was Barnes dropping out a sacrifice or a setback? Did he, you know, does he really know, as Brother Z said, does he really know something we don't know? I'm going to go to the chat. Jasmine said, hey, y'all. Baybar said, hello. LaRon Taylor said, what do you mean? We all know nobody is going to catch Hong. Oh, this is going to be a good one. This is going to be a good one. This is going to be a real good one. This is going to be a real good one. Phone lines lighting up. But before we go to the phone lines, just real quick, real quick. I'm going to tell y'all at 2:30, we got two brothers coming on. It's a really personal segment that I got. It's about black man healing. I got two brothers who have went through way ups and way downs, and now they're at this really solid level of life. Very calming individuals. So let's take some calls. Take some calls. What's up, Winky Blue?
Hey, what's going on with you, guy?
Winky.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Along with whatever rumors or whatever allegedly is supposed to be coming out, I think the brother lost some of his support, his main donors.
Mm.
See, the main donors is the part of the machine. Mm. They dictate who's going to and who they think is the best person for the job.
Yeah.
So I would like to know who his donors were. He done already. He see where his donors done went.
Right.
And wherever his donors went, that's where the money went.
Right.
So it don't make no sense to even get in the race, really, unless you're gonna be peddling around here, almost on a shoestring budget deal.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there is some real damning information, an outside kid or some other stuff, you know, taxes or something like that. But in reality, man, we got to realize something. We do not know these people. Mm. I don't know Mandela Barnes. I don't know the Asian lady. That's who they probably going to put up there, the Asian woman. But I don't know. That other white girl got to look like she might got to run, too. The thing is, we don't know these people. And right now, our future is at stake. You are a homeowner. You own your own house. Anytime a man signed in, I said this yesterday, and I'm going to keep pushing that because I got to get it to my people. if you that in love with a party to give away your house, your real estate buildings for some people that you don't even know, you doggone need to lose everything you got, because the other boy on the other side is going to get rid of on day one that tax increase. That's saying $9 for every $100. So if your house is $100,000, that's $900 extra dollars you're going to be paying. If it's $200,000, guess what? That's $1,800 you're going to be paying. Check this here out. And it's going by the city assessment. Mm. It's not going by a real appraisal. So the city has gotten all of our stuff so high appraised, assessed, that it's going to hurt you. Mm. So we got to do the right thing. Nitty, you got a house, don't you?
Yeah. Hey, look.
Okay, you got one that you're going to leave to your kids if something, God forbid, anything should happen.
I got stuff, I got stuff to leave to the kids. Yeah, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. Listen, check it out. You want? He signed a 400-year increase, tax increase. I mean, every year after 2026, 2027, taxes is going to start going up. Every year, we'll see it on our bill this time. Mm. Hey, brother, that's just the school board. That ain't including your city taxes.
Listen,
your county taxes.
Listen, they're about to. That along with inflation, it's about to wreck shop. That along with inflation is about to wreck shop. Winky Blue, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. We run out of time, so we got to get to Al real quick. So please keep calling in. Al, what's up, man?
Well, first of all, if they gentrify, your taxes are gonna go up anyway. Okay, and number two, what's the sacrifice? He knew he wasn't going to win anyway, and he should have never jumped it in. And furthermore,
he was going to win, Al. He was going to win. Did you hear what he said on the gubernatorial debates? He was coming after people, sending zingers like Zeus.
You keep on thinking that. But what I'm saying, Al, is he should have never jumped in anyway, because he ain't never been for blacks. And where we are today,
he's black,
they
Al.
Don't care. Say what?
He's black, Al. All black people for black people.
Yeah, but just know the hell they're not. But what I'm going to say is the people that's in position of power today don't care about you being healed, okay? And the reason why they're in position, because black people choose to cower down to whiteness. And white people don't like nothing filter. They like it clean. They like it nice, dirty, and raw. And that's how they give it to black people. And black people have
everything
they got.
That's not how they was raised, though. In Europe, they had toilets and poop coming out the back of their homes.
And it was black people who taught them about how cleaning is and not to get sick.
Yep.
But where we are today, if black people would stop being so kind and stop walking on their tippy toes and give it to them raw, we wouldn't be in this position.
Raw.
So where we are today, yes, give it to them raw. White people going to tell you it any way you want to, and they're going to give it to you raw. Black people are going to be like, well, I want to speak to you. No, I don't want to speak to you. I'm going to tell you who I need to tell you. And black people don't do that.
Hey, y'all, when we
look
come
at how they do religion.
Man, thank you, Al. Hey, y'all, when we come back, we're going to talk to two brothers. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about black men being healed in the face of being the most dangerous thing in America. This ain't angry. We're not angry. When the pressure comes on, guess who they run to? You got it. Guess who they run to? You know. We're going to have Jamil Tyler and Just Breathe, Brother Lou, on at 2:30. 2:30, 3 minutes. Stay tuned. On the grapevine, we're going to pick these grapes. The award-winning truth. Radio.
Adversity on King.
Yes, yes. Welcome back. Welcome back to the grapevine. I'm your host, Manan Sabir. Yes. And we are about to pick some more grapes. We are about to pick some more of these beautiful, wonderful grapes that are coming off the grapevine. And you are tuned in to the award-winning Truth 101.7 Radio. And I tell you, man, we got some It's a fire show. Fire show. And we are a very interesting group of people. We are a very interesting group of people. Whole, healed, powerful, black men. I think that is the most dangerous thing in America. That is the most dangerous thing in America. We're talking about today. That is the most dangerous thing in America. Not an angry one, a free one. Not an angry one and a free one. And the closer we get to the hole, the harder the pressure comes. Barnes was at the door. Mandela Barnes was at the door. He was at the door. True, you look apart. I mean, I don't want to say it, but, you know, barring his name, at his title as a black man, P. Diddy, Puffy, had everything at the door. Am I right or wrong? Same pattern, different altitude. Same pattern, different altitude. They get so high, they get right there, and then pow. If has anybody ever went skeet shooting? It's because skeet shooting is one of those things where, you know, they put these plates in a loader, in a skeet loader, and then they pull it, and the plate goes in the air, and you take your gun or your rifle, you aim, track it, and then you pull the trigger. This is what is happening to black men. This is exactly what is happening to black men. Black men, the lowest life expectancy of anybody in this country. This nation is literally hard on our hearts. It's hard on our hearts. I'm not saying that some people aren't guilty. I'm not saying that. But the innocent, what I'm saying is we have to watch the pattern. How fast is the culture that crowned these individuals, these black men, how fast is that culture to bury them in the same speed that they crowned them? How fast? It's very fast. So this message isn't for just the black men at the top, the black men at the bottom. It's for people who are right at the edge, And sometimes they cut the little string off to not allow people to pull down on their coattails. Oh, we know who those people are. So, y'all, I got some very, very great news. Very great news. I have two individuals that I've been knowing for close to 30 plus years. And we've come together to pull each other up. They all got strings on the back of their coattails for me. They've helped me out through many, many difficult moments. There's a Black Man's Healing Call I've been on for 3 years. We call it the Black Man's Healing Call. And we've all been through a number of things in our lifetimes just to come together because a friend of ours by the name of Dell was killed. Two of my guys, it's seven of us, three of us are on this call right now. And I'm gonna let my listeners in on learning what black men's healing is all about on a regular basis. First, I have Jamil Tyler from Texas, originally out of Gary, Indiana, by way of Milwaukee, or Milwaukee by way of Gary, Indiana. And also Brother Lewis, Just Breathe Universe.
Peace and blessings.
My brothers, what's up?
Peace and blessings.
Peace, Brother
Manan. Thank you for inviting us on, man. Appreciate it.
Man, I appreciate y'all, man. I really do. We were scrambling to get it on, but we got it on. Talk to me.
That's all that matters.
Talk to me, y'all. I want to know, And we're going to jump right into it because I understand that we are a group that we look towards the life of people and not the death. We look to the top of individuals. Whenever we are speaking life into those into people, we're speaking life to the degree that they can actually see themselves in their future, not in survival mode. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Indeed, brother. You hit it on the head, man. That's what we do, man. We work to get to the best version, the best iteration, the best of who we know we are designed to be. And, you know, we support and pour into each other and love one another to that standard. And that's what, you know, our call is, the Brothers Healing Call. That's what we come together to do every Sunday for over 3 years now, you know, to really look at the best parts of ourselves.
Yeah. Brother Lou, what was your impetus for coming into the Brother Healing Call? I know mine, but what was yours?
I'm going to be honest with you, man, and I'm so proud of you, man, for this radio show, this beautiful platform that you're doing here, celebrating you, also coming together and seeing you, you know, do what you do through the Juice Kitchen, through all of the wellness offerings that you have, man. I would be remiss if I didn't say that first, you know, so thank you for having us.
Appreciate it.
I think what really struck me, man, with coming back together with my brothers from over 30 years ago was this opportunity for what our name suggests, right? A Brothers Healing Collective. It's like healing one another just with our presence and us reflecting so much back to each other. What I was sharing with Jamil maybe last week or so was like how through our brothers, we get to see this beautiful reflection of one another. It's like I see you, Manon, and I get to see myself, you know, in the wellness Juice Kitchen aspect of myself. I get to see my brother Jamil in that beautiful version of who he is as a community leader, as an educator, as someone who puts out, you know, beautiful knowledge into community. So I think what really got me, man, was when I walked through that church. It was at the funeral of Dale, and I sat next to my brother Jamil. And it just felt like I was at home again, you know, with my brothers and seeing you, man, and being with you all. It brought me back to the essence of what it means to heal as a collective, how to go back and look at ourselves in reflection as well. So that's what really got me, man. And I'm so excited, man, to be here with you and to be with my brother, too, as well.
So this is what we're going to do. Tell me real quick in a 30-second form, Jamil,
sure.
why we came together. And then for this next, the last part of our segment from till about 3, I want to give people the opportunity to see how we conduct our sessions, our healing sessions, because I think this is one of the more important pieces of people understanding what Black men have to do in order to heal. And it may just be a microcosm, but this part may save somebody's life. Can you tell how we came together? And then we're going to go to break in about a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Real quick. You know, we started off 30 plus years ago as a group of young brothers and created the Grassroots Leadership Network. Just a bunch of brothers coming together to do something good, you know, in the community. And we were pretty much bonded since then, although many of us went our different ways and we all were living our different lives in different parts of the world. And then once our brother Dale, you know, was murdered in Milwaukee, we all came back to the funeral. And from that moment forward, we realized that even though we had been apart for a long time, we still had work to do. The first order of business was for us to work on ourselves and one another, right? So we decided we was going to put the call together, and we were going to commit and consistent and meet every Sunday for 2 hours, man, and just hop on the phone and really just help build each other. Many of us were going through everything from divorce to, of course, the loss of our dear brother, and, you know, just so many life transitions, but realizing we all needed some type of healing, man. We all needed some kind of support in that healing process and the healing journey. And pretty much, man, we've been and that's pretty much all happened.
And you mentioned Dale, and just real quick, I'm gonna give the listeners a little piece of Dale. Dale was, you know, also a brother of mine. He was an older brother. A lot of the brothers in our healing call are older than me. I usually kind of find myself in this particular frame where I'm always the youngest out of all my brothers. But also, I found that
you're the little brother.
I'm the little brother all the time. But I also found that with Dale, and one of the other reasons why we also think we felt like we needed to heal was because Dale was shot, and the person that shot him, him and his friend went back to basically playing video games, and we're going to discuss that later on, but not right now. But this was trauma. Yeah, we looked into trauma for ourselves in order for us to heal also. So we're going to take a break and we're on the grapevine. We're going to take a break. We're going to get to our healing journey. We're going to give you guys a microcosm of what healing for Black men looks like. And then we're going to continue on this Black men's healing journey after our brothers leave at 3 o'clock and see what we can do in Milwaukee to continue our healing journey when we can come back in 3 minutes. Day,
when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day when the war is won, we will be sure.
Yes, yes, yes. It's glory. Every day has to be glory. Every day has to be glory. Welcome back to The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manan Sabir, and we're discussing on the award-winning Truth Radio 101.7. We're discussing Black men and Black men's healing. We have on the line two of my dopest, longest-running friends, brothers, Jamil Tyler, and also Brother Lou. Today is very unconventional because we're moved to help people heal. And for a few minutes, we're going to take a step back. We're going to allow people into our Black men's healing. And I want to start off with saying I really appreciate my brothers, but now we're going to give you guys just a brief, very microscopic look at Black men and healing. We have a few minutes before our segment is out. Who wants to go first? Brother Lou, Brother Jamil? We're gonna lead into our segment.
So I'll take the lead for one particular reason, Brother Manan, and that is to do something that we always do to start our calls off. We typically start every call off with a prayer, and some breath work, like some breathing. So I'll ask you, brother, have you taken a deep breath for yourself today?
No, I haven't.
So even for your listeners, right, I think it's so important, man, that like we live in this busy, chaotic world sometimes where it's always moving, it's always going, and we're always encouraged to just keep doing. But where do we actually go to pause, to just breathe and to reset? So I like to do this real quick, man. Let's take three deep breaths in together. The first breath we take, let's take it in for acceptance. Let's take a deep inhale. And then let's exhale that out with a lot of love. Accepting everything that brought us here today on our journey, right? And just the deep breath of acceptance for everything. And then let's take another one in for awareness. Let's take a deep breath in. the awareness of our thoughts, our feelings, and every sensation of our body, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Let's release that. Yeah. The deeper the breath, the deeper the rest. So let's take one final deep breath for the alignment of all of us here and all of your listeners. Deep breath in. And then exhale out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we are worthy, bro. We're worthy and deserving of taking those moments to just refresh, to reset, and to reconnect ourselves back to the present. We get so busy into the next moment, Manon, into what happened, you know, over the weekend or last month or just last hour.
Yeah.
That we forget to be present right here in this moment. So that's how we usually ground our brothers in, man. And I wanted to just offer that same medicine to you today. And that's why I took the lead. So,
man,
thank you, brother.
And I really appreciate it. We lost Brother Jamil. I don't know where he went. Is he, you still on, Jamil? Let me know. I think sometimes his reception can be bad,
yeah,
but
yeah, that's okay. We're gonna keep working it until he come on back in.
That's,
you know?
Right. That's right. So
yeah.
You know, and then once we after our breath work, after our breath work, then we go into a prayer. We pray.
Mm-hmm.
We pray
or we go
ourselves
or in. we pray and then we go into the breath.
Prayer.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Can you lead us into a prayer since Jamil is gone and people have always heard me? Can you pray us in?
Yeah, we always do a very universal prayer, man. Nothing, you know, over the top. But sometimes we'll pray the Al-Fatiha from the Islamic tradition.
Right.
Sometimes our brother may pray the Lord's Prayer from the Christian tradition. You know what I mean? So it's that. So today I'm just going to offer this simple medicine of thanks and gratitude to our Creator, to the Most High, for bringing us here together in this session, and just, you know, allowing us to participate in our own healing, but also healing as a collective, reflecting back to our brothers the essence of who we are on the inside. And with that, I say amen and ashe. Simple, simple prayer, just like that. Yeah.
So whenever we after our prayer, then we go into questions for our listeners. We go into questions. We go into, you know,
or we go into a check-in.
A check-in.
Don't, Manon.
Yes,
let's not
that's
forget
right.
about the check-in.
Yes.
Yeah, we check in on each other's mental health and our emotional well-being and
how
we've been doing through the week. And if some brothers got some heaviness, we may just stay there for the whole time.
Right. So, but it's very interesting that if you ask me that question today has been today, I was able to take myself to an appointment that I needed to heal for. I needed that appointment to help myself heal. I needed that that appointment to bring myself down because I was living at this place where I felt like I was redlining. Right. And, you know, whenever you have this level of red line, there's no other place that you can go. There's no other place except, you know, trying to inch everything at the top. And then the drop happens and you have nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so
today
was that day for me to be able to take myself out, take the red line out. And now I feel like I have the mental real estate. Now I feel like I have the ability to recalibrate and understand who I am. Right?
Yeah.
And
because you created a little bit of space for yourself, Manon.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did. So what I want to do is when we leave out, we got about a minute. I want you to to breathe us out and breathe the listeners out. And then what we'll do is we'll have another scheduled call to allow people, especially Black men, to understand what it is that we all do to make ourselves whole and healed. Now, that doesn't mean that we're healed and the scab is all is already pat down on the skin. That doesn't mean that. It just means that we are aiming to be godlike. Am I right?
That's a very, very good way of putting it, brother. Yes, sir.
Brother Lou, breathe us out and then we'll go to break and then we'll be done.
Cool. So together then, let's do this, Manon. We want to breathe in. I'm going to say breathe in and we're going to take an inhale. Mm-hmm. And when I say breathe out, we'll exhale. Just very simple, from the diaphragm, not from the chest, but from our diaphragm specifically. Mm-hmm. That's where we digest. So let's take it together. Let's breathe in, grounding ourselves in this present moment. And let's exhale, breathe out. Freeing our mind, freeing our body from just all of the busy. Let's breathe in again, centering ourselves in this present moment, and exhale, breathe out, softening our shoulders, releasing the tension from our neck, from our body, releasing that toxic energy. Let's breathe in again. Breathe in that peace, and then let's exhale and breathe out. And then let's bring those palms together, brother, and let's repeat these affirmations on the way out. I am worthy.
I am worthy.
I am deserving.
I am deserving.
And I am more than enough.
I am more than enough.
For this moment.
For this moment.
In my presence.
In my presence.
And me being present for myself.
Me being present for myself.
Is a gift.
Is a gift.
Put that right hand over your chest and the left hand on your diaphragm. Let's take the biggest deep breath that we've taken. Holding that in. And then exhale. That's how we going out. Exhale.
And on that breath, I thank you, Brother Lou. I thank everybody for being on this call and breathing with us. And we'll breathe our way out, and then we'll breathe ourselves back in at 3 o'clock in 3 minutes. All right, y'all. We'll be back in three.